This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Continuing our journey with Juz Tabarak, the 29th Juz of the Quran, whereby we touched upon, we spoke about Surah Al-Mulk, whereby the Surah speaks about the kingdomship or the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah huwa al-Khaliq, that He is the Creator and that which He has created and His creation. So inside this surah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the concept of creation and the creator. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Look at the heavens and the earth. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you see any deficiency or any crevices in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Till eventually then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the creation of the human being and speaks about the human being, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created, and He's the most subtle, the most aware? This creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via these signs, ayatul kawniya, via these symbolic signs or universal signs of the heavens and the earth, are supposed to awaken the individual of min awwal min tadabbur or tafakkur, to reflect and to ponder and then to lead towards amal, towards action. That's what a Muslim goes towards, or what the intellectual individual. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'ayati li ulil albab, these are signs for men, people of intellect, rationale, comprehension. They see these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it leads them to do what? Not to marvel, not to speak about the greatness of the heavens and the earth, which is a partial element that a person should do. It leads the individual to begin to show that obedience, that ta'a, لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And as Surah Al-Qalam, it moves from the concept of just visualizing and looking. It moves now to the creation, to the ultimate creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human being. That a human being needs to now earn the ability to use the education, use these signs to become one who implements the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From just pondering over them previously. Even Allah gives us ishara, that He's the one who gave you the faculties of hearing and seeing and comprehension. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, or very little it is that you give thanks, or لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, you give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِأَيِّ مَعْنَى, that your faculties of your body, your creation leads you to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does one submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One has to learn, gain that knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon the face of this earth. نُون وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, via the letter noon, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, that what the pen, it subscribes, what it writes, al-ishara ila al-ilm, to knowledge, that a person needs to acquire knowledge, needs to acquire the knowledge to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon dalala, upon misguidance, or upon one's personal feelings or intuition. Allah hasn't left us in a state of darkness or darknesses. Allah has laid out, this is the path, this is the manhajul Qur'an, this is the sunnah of the Qur'an, this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for you to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this individual gains this knowledge that Allah sent down, and to change oneself, because inside the beginning of surah, Allah highlights that you're not an individual who's a mesmerized individual. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, and you're going to have these immense rewards going to be given to you. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and your character is so sublime and manifest, meaning that person changes themselves. Just like your khalq, your creation, you perfect it to be like your khuluq, your creation and your etiquettes, your characteristics. That your characteristics are supposed to be fine-tuned. That it's just like your creation, that it becomes within yourself. How you behave, how you conduct yourself. That's what real al-ilm is. Ilm isn't, as many of the shabab that they think, is kasbul ilm, just to memorize texts and nusus and just memorize them. We're not saying we shouldn't do that inside our lives. But it's application of that knowledge and ability to apply that knowledge in the world that you live in the environment that you live in the people that you live in. There's no point taking texts from 11th, 12th, 7th, 8th century and then trying to apply them in the modern world around us. And say, oh no, that's speaking ill of the people existed before. That shows a lack of knowledge. Because the Prophet, ﷺ, he gave a very wide, expansive understanding. He trained people. He gave them alatul Islam. He gave them the tools, the instruments of Islam. He gave them the tools that these are the instruments of Islam. You need to use these. And I go and spread Islam. Go and teach Islam. Not codify Islam according to your own self. As you study Islam historically, look how far and wide Islam has spread. How did it spread? It spread by one of the key elements where innaka la'ala khuluqin azim is sublime character, behavior, ethics, morality, practicing what we preach. Not that we live a life of haram and then we expect people to become enter into Islam. Because some people will use that as an excuse that if Islam is a moral religion, a moral fiber, good upbringing, staying away from munkarat, wal fawahish, wal haram things. So why are so much of the Muslim youth indulged in it then? Why is so much of the Muslim world indulged in it? That we have this pristine faith, this orthodox faith, this good relationship with the Creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are you drowned in it as much as we are drowned into it? What's the difference between us and you then today? And we have to show, symbolize that difference of changing our character, changing our behavior. And that's inside this surah that we find the application of these bad traits to stay away from them and to follow the good traits inside this surah. And likewise, rather we find arrogance, pride. So this surah, Surah Al-Qalam, Surah Noon, it speaks about people who are proud and arrogant and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy and wipe out people who are arrogant individuals on the face of this earth. And likewise, you find the path of patience, of sabr. And this is a common theme inside the Quran. That via patience, a person achieves so much inside their life. But as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَلَكِنْ أَنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ You're very hasty people. You're very hasty. You want instant results, instant changes. Nuh ﷺ, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعُوتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا I call my people day and night, in the open, in the secret. Every time I spoke to them, they thrust their fingers in their ears. And they took their garments, their cloaks, they placed it over their heads in arrogance. How long did Nuh alayhi salam preach to his people for? Sana, sanatayn, ashar sanawat, khamsin sana, mi'a sana, alf sana illa khamsina aman. He preached to his people for 1,000 years less 50, 950 years. 950 years he preached to his people. Then he, if you can use such words, he lost hope to a certain degree. And even in this inside this surah, Allah speaks at the end of this surah about Dhunnun, Yunus alayhi salam. To have that patience, don't lose, because at the end he lost that patience, thinking these people are not going to listen. But Allah mentioned, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ Don't become like صاحب الحوت. Don't become like the companion of the whale. And he became upset. He became worried about that people are heading towards the right direction. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ Be patient regarding the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what al-Iman is. Al-Sabr wa shukr. And a strange thing is that many places inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes these surahs. Concludes different surahs about the path of patience. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ In the end of Surah Al-Ahqaf. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Have a strong resolution of patience. كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Like those prophets who had a strong recognition of belief, of resolution. They were resolute inside their belief and their conviction. Who are أُولُو الْعَزْمِ Ulul Azm, as ulama of tafsir mentioned, the five prophets, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, wa Isa, wa Nabiyuna Muhammad. These are Ulul Azm. Read through their seerah. Read inside Al-Qasas Al-Anbiya of Ibn Kathir about these specifically, these five messengers. Why has Allah selected them, Ulul Azm? فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Be patient like these individuals who had this resolution in persevering the obstacles they faced in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside Surah Al-Nahl that we find, وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ In the Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th chapter of the Quran, a Surah of Ni'm, Allah says, وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Have that patience, and your patience only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a deep science of the Quran that many of us, we fail to understand. This is how many surahs end inside the Quran, speaking about patience, about resolution. For what purpose? To show us it's going to be a very, very difficult task. And as we find, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ That the reward for people who have patience, there's no hisab, there's no accountability. Allah normally mentions that for one good deed, 10 good deeds, or 100 good deeds, or multiplied many times, 700 times, or many times over. mudha'afa, many times repeated. But when Allah says about patience, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, there's no accountability. كَأَنَّ الْإِشَارَةَ, that the essence of everything inside your life is patience. That's why الَّذِي شَخْصَ الَّذِي صَابِرًا, the person who's patience bears many things inside their life, tolerates many things inside their life. That's why you see the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, read through his seerah, read through the essence of all of the enemies, what they've done to him, and read through how every single one of them, he forgave them. And we're not just talking about just bare words that they said to him. They read something, they literally plotted to come and physically to kill him, to harm him, took out their swords, poison him, trap him, to assassinate him. All these, whatever they wanted to do, all this they planned, but wallahu ya'simuka minan nas, but Allah will protect you from people. Because as they say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir, when Allah becomes your mawla, your protector, your helper, you don't need anybody around you. You don't need an entourage. You don't need people around you. The person, alladhi salla al-fajr, person who prays fajr in the morning, in the masjid, in jama'ah, fahuwa fi dhimmatillah, he's under the protection of Allah for the rest of that day. And he joins the congregation in the evening, then in the evening he's under that protection. And there's another strange hadith that we need to awaken ourselves, because even inside this surah it speaks about the prayer as well inside this surah. The person who prays fajr bil jama'ah in the masjid, that's a very valued prayer. Afdulus salah, one of the most virtuous prayers the person can pray in jama'ah is on yawmul jum'ah, is on the day of jum'ah, salatul fajr. It's the most valuable. That's when jum'ah begins. Jum'ah doesn't begin half an hour before coming into jum'ah. It begins way before that. The psyche and the preparation of this day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day of preparation. That's why even inside this surah, when it speaks about those people not going to be able to perform sujood. Some of the ulama, Imam Qurtubi in Tabari, mentions that الَّذِينَ كَانَ إِنْهُمْ آلِيَةً and يُسَلُّونَ, they had the ability to pray inside this dunya and they never used to pray. They're going to try to prostrate on the day of judgment. There's no prostration on the day of judgment then. Their backs will become like planks of wood. It's not just al-munafiqoon. It's going to be even some Muslims, may Allah forbid, that if you did not pray in this dunya, don't expect that when that time comes, you're going to then submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know, many of us, we live in this dream world that by default, I'm a Muslim. So when I die, there's going to be this element of leniency that's going to be given to me. We should think that to a certain degree. But we shouldn't rely upon that. That when I die, there should be leniency because by default, I'm a Muslim. But Allah, as we mentioned, has laid out, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ, laid out principles, rules, regulations. For what purpose? Inside the surah, Allah mentions, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Are we going to make criminals like Muslims? Those who submit, مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How do you judge? Do you think a person, الَّذِي صَلَّى, Khamseen son, a person who prayed 50 years of their life, تَتَجَنَّبْ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, stays away from haram things, doesn't get involved in haram things, guards themselves, preserves themselves, raises the people around them, looks after themselves. Do you think that Allah is going to judge this person كالمجرمين? Do you think Allah is going to treat this person like a criminal? وَحَتَّى أَصْحَابُ الْبِدْعَةِ, even people of innovation, قَدْ يَكُونَ إِنْدَوْ نَوْءٌ مِنَ الْبِدْعَةِ, a person could have some element of innovation. But this person could be praying Qiyamul Layl for the last 30 years of their life. وَأَنْتَ مَا صَلَّيْتَ وَلَا لَيْلَ مَرَّةٌ. You haven't prayed once in your night and you're busy just being judgmental. Like, you know, this person, because they had this innovation, وَحَتَّى this innovation فِي خِلَاف بَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ, there's difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Read Imam Shatibi's magnanimous work in two volumes, Al-I'tisam. That what is action? What is innovation? What codifies innovation? Just if a person does, I'll use this word small, but there's no small bidah, but just to highlight the point, if someone just wipes their face after salah, after making dua. وَحَتَّى بَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ صَحْوَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, some ulama have authenticated this hadith. وَإِنْ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا أَمَامَنَا وَمَامَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْأَجِلَّاءِ, even the most ulama will weaken this hadith. But if a person does that, does that now mean this is a person of innovation? That Allah is going to judge this person like a criminal who never fasted, who never prayed, who broke the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You think Allah is going to make these two individuals equal? To judge these individuals equally? This shows a lack of aqa'id, a lack of understanding, logatul Qur'an. the language of the Quran and trying to understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how He deals with His subjects, how He deals with His people, and what He wants us to do. So Allah laid out the rules. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon. The letter Noon. Ulama discussed the letter Noon. What does it refer to? And this is the last of the muqatta'at, last of the broken letters that occur inside the Quran. And the most strongest view is that take these broken letters, these 15 or 16 different letters, take them, or 14 letters, and try to write something like the Quran. Because the Arabs were well versed in the Arabic language. So it's a form of tahaddi. Use these letters to write something like the Quran. They're not able to do so. Noon. This letter that we find, وَبَعْدُمْ قَدْ قِيلْ أَنَّ نُون بِمَعْنَى الْحُوتِ. Because the hoot, the whale, comes inside this surah. And the old Arabic classical meaning of noon is al-hoot, the whale. And some of them quote Israeliyat, like Imam Tabari inside his tafsir, he quotes that the whole world, it rests upon a whale. Or it rests upon the qarn, the horn of the bull. And when there's zalzala, there's earthquakes, it moves from one side to the other side. These are all Israeliyat. These are Israelite traditions. But we just may touch upon this because some people may read this and come across them. Most of what we're going to quote is based upon Ibn Kathir, Rahmatullah alayhi, Imam al-Fassirin. And there's an exception that we will quote which ulama made this view. Whatever we mention is taken from Imam Ibn Kathir's tafsir. And likewise, when some of them, they said that a noon carries the meaning of the ink pot, the ink. Because noon wal qalami wama yasturun, take the ink and write what is scribed, what is written. And Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi, al-Gharnati, al-Andalusi, al-Maliki, who died in the year 640 in the Christian era, he writes that al-noon bima'na ar-Rahman. Because the end of noon is noon and the end of ar-Rahman is noon. And this could be some form of excessive, but if you study the name ar-Rahman, you find alif, lam, ra, mim, noon. And many of the huruf muqatta are based upon this. That's why some of the ulama went to the view that these letters are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a view that exists there. But anyhow, noon wal qalami wama yastun, by the pen and what it scribes, what it writes down. Ibn Ibbas said, wama yaktubun. And what the pen writes, the pen, whether it be the initial pen. But before the creation of the heavens and earth, Allah said, created the pen. And said to the pen, write. The pen said, what should I write? Allah said, write what will take place from now until the end of time. قَبْلَ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ أَمْ 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and earth, everything is written down. And others say, no, it means the general meaning of the pen, that use the pen for knowledge, to gain knowledge, to improve yourself, to understand the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Use this knowledge that Allah is bestowing upon you to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. And you're not an individual who's a madman. Why do such ayat, they occur inside the beginning of this surah and the end of this surah? Because in the beginning of revelation, when revelation came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he thought that maybe I'm mesmerized because this is something new. Because he used to go in a state of tahannuth. He used to go to Ghar Hira and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own format, as we began with. That was a format that was specific. As soon as revelation came, read works of the seerah, tariq, he never ever returned back to the Ghar. He never went back there for ibadah. So when people say that we're trying to find a proximity, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Sharia is not enough, we need to find new ways of reaching higher limits of spiritual contentment and peace and tranquility and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a deficiency. Because the ultimate level of tazkiyah is inside the Quran, is inside the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's there. How to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never returned back. He was searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they say. We don't need to search for Allah anymore. The search is over. The rules and regulations, they are there. That's what ulama said, that Surah Al-Qalam is amongst the first surahs revealed from the Quran. You find Surah Al-Qalam, Al-Alaq, Al-Muddathir, Al-Muzammil. All of them, their theme is the same. There's a very close similarity between Surah Al-Alaq and Surah Al-Qalam. Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, Khalaq Al-Insana Min Alaq. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى. Read the three of Surah Al-Qalam and Al-Alaq, same theme. Al-Mudathir, same theme. How people, when exposed to knowledge, then they become arrogant or reject that knowledge and think that it's self-sufficient. We don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that relationship between these surahs, opening surahs are there. And to strengthen the Prophet, that people may make this attribution that you're not well inside your mind because you may feel it psychologically. Some ulama spoke about it because he felt that this is something strange, revelation being given to me. What is this revelation? مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ You're not one who's lost your senses. Or the other meaning is that what they try to say about you, that your message is a right message, is a truth. That's why when people, when they see religious people, they say, look at these mad men, look at these mad people living in this 6th century religious Arabic revival that they live in. Same words, same concept that we live in around us, even hatta amongst our family members, people think, what is this religious behavior inside our society? Person shouldn't be so religious. Religion is a private relationship between you and the Creator. What does the Quran say? These first revelations. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa anzir, wa rabbaka fa kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa tahhir. First revelation. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just left it at that? You know, the Prophet, he was the most loved person inside his society. The most beloved person inside his society. From all of the Quraysh. Do you think he wanted to, if you could use such words, rock the boat? Break the status quo of his relationship with his people, with his tribe, with his uncles, with his clansmen, with the people around him. Do you think he wanted to do that? Do you think he had that vision inside his mind? But he had to do that. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa anzir, wa rabbaka fa kabbir. Stand up, qum fa anzir, warn the people. Wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin. Stand up and warn the people close to you. That's what the Prophet stood on the Mount Safa. He stood there. And he called out to the people, called out to them. You know about me. You know I'm the trustworthy individual, don't you? If I tell you some information, of course we know you're going to tell us the truth. He said, I'm calling you to La ilaha illallah, tuflihu. Come to La ilaha illallah, be successful. We don't want to speak about La ilaha illallah anymore. We don't want to engage inside society. This is what we should be calling people to. This is what we should be engaging them to, the natural fitrah of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awaken the concept of belief, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that Abu Lahab, he stood up, he said, Tabbat yadaka alihada jama'tana. Is this why you called us? Is this why you called us here to talk to us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said down. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Mu'jiza min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miracle, these verses. He's a living individual. He's living. And Allah is saying that this individual is never ever going to believe. This shows the miraculous nature of the Quran. You know, every day people ask the question, give me some word from the Quran. Let me read a certain ayah from the Quran, a certain section of the Quran, a certain spiritual movement of the Quran. Kullul Quran, the whole of the Quran is mu'jiza. Liman yaqra'uhu, whoever reads it. The whole of the Quran is a miracle. Every harf, every diacritical mark of it is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tanzeelu min rabbil alameen. Revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we drift away from the Quran. That was our bond with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should it do? Then Allah mentions here, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. What does the Quran do to a person? That's Aisha in the hadith in Bukhari. She said, which asked about the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What did she say? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. That's it, simple. Not a long list. She said that his characteristics, his behavior is the Quran. If the Quran doesn't change you, then I don't know what's going to change you inside your life. If the Quran doesn't change a person, then what else would change them? Because this is Kalamullah. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى لَعَلَى means you've conquered characteristics. As some ulama tafsir they mentioned, you've conquered it. That the Prophet is so sublime, so lofty, so supreme, so accurate inside his behavior. That's why Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi in his tafsir al-Tasheel li'ulum al-Tanzeel, he writes 24 odd descriptive natures or descriptive aspects of the Prophet that he's kind, merciful, loving, affectionate, tolerant, peaceful. Lists a whole list of them. This is the Prophet from just this one verse. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Ibn Abbas said, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٌ عَظِيمٌ. That your deen is a way of life. Deen isn't just a certain section. You meet a brother and that's your deen. Deen is all the time. All the time you're eating, you're drinking, you're talking, you're laughing, you're weeping, you're with your family, with your children. Wherever you are, it's your deen. Islam is a way of life. Islam isn't
how these people portray it, or what we believe, that when you come to the masjid, you adorn yourself, you attire yourself, and you're just a Muslim inside the masjid. As soon as you come out the masjid, then is your different identity. That shows the Quran isn't having an impact upon you. As-salah isn't having an impact upon you. Inna as-salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. As-salah takes a person away from evil and bad conduct, and bad behavior leads the person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what some of the ulama mentioned, that the holy surah is as if it's speaking about akhlaqun nabi. That the holy surah is just speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his characteristics and what to avoid. That's what some ulama said, the link between Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Qalam. Surah Al-Mulk speaks all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation and the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Surah Al-Qalam speaks all about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why it follows from one surah to another surah. And likewise, Surah Al-Mulk is full of istifhamiya. Istifhamat, continuous questions, proposing the questions. A'antum, a'amintum, is posed inside it. And again, inside, amlakum, amlahum. Inside Surah Al-Qalam, these continuous questions are posed inside it. These are rhetorical questions that Allah presents inside the Quran to help us to begin to think, to reflect. The Quran is not just a spiritual book that you read it and you gain your ajr. Alif, lam, mim isn't 10 rewards, it's 30 rewards. Lil alif is 10, lam is 10, for mim is 10, 30 rewards. But it should be beyond that. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. A blessed book that you set down, liyadabbaru. Hasan al-Basri said, liyutabbiqu, that you implement the book of Allah. You live the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside your lives, what this surah or what these akhlaq should be leading us to do. Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he writes that وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He begins to narrate all the ayat that he can collect, speaking about the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In the end of Surah Al-Imran, the most conferred favor upon the believers is sending a messenger from amongst their own selves. So the end of Surah Tawbah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Messenger from amongst your own self. It troubles him, it worries him, you don't come towards a path of guidance. Islam isn't what these people say. Islam isn't the sword, the onslaught, and bringing people down to their knees. We bring them down to their knees via entering fi qulubihim, into their hearts. That's how you bring a man down to his knees. Make him submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via penetrating the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the Prophet alayhi salam, he done. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day, in his conduct, for you to emulate, for you to copy. That's what Imam Sa'di, he narrates, based upon وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Narrates all these ayat inside the Quran, speaking about this pristine rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Allah then warns us. The opposite characteristics, as we said, the Quran is a complete manhaj. Doesn't leave us. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Don't believe the rejecting ones, those who lie, who reject the signs of Allah, who reject God. Look at this godless society at the moment that we find. If you speak about death, you speak about God, don't speak about these topics. Even some Muslims as well, don't speak about death. Don't speak about returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't discuss this. Don't spoil the meal. Don't spoil the environment by speaking about death. وَلَكِنْ فِي قُلُوبِ. Inside their hearts, there's a yearning. There's a hadith says, a person who wants to meet Allah, Allah wants to meet that person. Allah wants to meet that person. A person who doesn't want to meet Allah, Allah doesn't want to meet that individual. What does it mean? Person inside their heart, they're content. There's shortcomings in my life. There's difficulties, whatever it may be, falling short. But I know, huwa rabbun ghafoor. He's a Lord that pardons. I've exerted myself. I've done what I can inside my life, doing what I can. That contentment, that peace that's placed inside the heart of the individual. Not that we want this for any individual. Look at the end of mu'zamun nas. Look at the end of many people inside their lives. Screaming, shouting, wailing, anguish, pain, anger. What is that? And then make that in comparison to Muslims who die in their sleep in a peaceful state, remembering Allah, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A clear distinction. أَفَنَجْعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah displays it around us. Displays it, but we still fail to see this rahmah, this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. You know, they want you to compromise slightly. So you compromise and they compromise, just like today. Just like today, people say, you know, maybe you should, you know, accept this. Maybe you should accept the opposite gender relationship or same gender relationship, or accept this or accept that or accept that. And we'll accept this concept of yours. Same thing the Quraysh were trying to do in a different parameter. Then, you know, maybe one year we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then another year we worship the idols. Then we'll alternate, keep the peace with everybody. You know, we are Muslims that need to take a stance. What we believe in, it's not something which is radical. It's a stance, it's the book of As-Samawiyya. It's the stance of all the books, the heavenly divine books, or what they speak about, the heavenly scriptures, or the paths that lead to heaven, according to them, all of them. The Quran, wa muhaiminan alayh, the Quran completes that. So the scripture of the Quran is completing what all the fawahish, all the haram. None of the prophets believed in those things. None of those prophets preached those things. None of those prophets accepted those things. So there's anybody who's following the path of the Anbiya, following the paths of all religions, all paths, all prophets, it's only a Muslim. It's only a Muslim who's doing it, who's following all the previous paths accurately of what they followed inside their life. So a Muslim has to take that stance. Take that stance with wisdom and fair preaching, highlight that the stance that we follow is authentic, not to cave in. And then the Quran mentions, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَّهِينٍ. Don't listen to every continuous individual who makes these oaths, despicable individual who are insulting and speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Hamaz in Masha'in bin Amim. Those who are walking around, Hamaz. Backbiting, slandering, gossiping, walking around, rumors. You know, this is a big problem in our community. I don't backbite anybody. But non-day just texting, this person like this, he's like this, he's like that, he's like that, this person like this. This is all ghibah. You know Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, that there are six criteria of where a person can do ghibah. You're not an alim, you're not a scholar, you're not an imam. You have no credentials at all to write about another person, to enter into another person. But we're not worried about that. Al-ghibah min al-kabair. Backbiting is from amongst the major sins. It's not something trivial. It's not something trivial. You think just that we get worried about somebody might be drinking alcohol or doing something haram, which is on a higher state, but it's still haram there. We get worried about it. But when a Muslim around us backbites or does something, no harm, no problem. If he's saying something about this person or that person, maybe for the good of something. For the good of what? For the good of your own nafs? For the good of your own personality? Because these are sicknesses in our society. All that we're worried about inside our society is to drag somebody else down. All we're worried about is to find some crevice, some deficiency about any individual and to display that. وَكُلُّنَا نَاقِسِينَ. Any individual is deficient. Every individual is. That's what Ibn Taymiyyah said, that بَعْدُ النَّاسِ كَالذُّبَاب. Some people like flies. They only come upon filth. That's all they look for. A fly only looks for filth. That's it. Doesn't look at the rest of the world. Doesn't look at anything else. These are traits, characteristics. We need to expel them. If we claim to be good Muslims, Muslims of fine character, fine behavior. Why is the Quran warning us about this? It's not saying about non-Muslims. Quran is addressing us that don't follow this path for such individuals. مَنَّاعِ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ أُطُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ. Oppressive, rude, arrogant, tyrannical individuals, harsh individuals, all warnings that we find inside this surah that we mentioned. Then Allah mentioned that those what this leads to, of not recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being arrogant, is another sickness inside our society where a person has wealth, power, property. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. We tested them. Ahlul Yemen, some ulama tafsir said, and referring to the people of Quraysh, we tested the people before, like we're going to test you. What does your wealth and your power lead to? It's another problem inside the world around us. Tyrannical jabbarun, tyrannical rulers. Muslims, tyrannical jabbarun. That we find, think that their wealth and their power and their might will make them live forever. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. To whom does a kingdomship belong to? Only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we get all worried up, we get flustered. A man fears no man on the face of this earth. No matter what that man is standing in front of them, it is one man that you fear on the face of this earth. Shall I tell you who that one man is? The one man that we should fear on the face of this earth is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the one man, one human being. That's the one human being a person should fear when they stand in front of him, when they present in front of him, because that's what the companions were. They had such awe, such fear, such respect for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that they said that they won't be able to look at the Prophet alayhi salam, they won't be able to describe him. Amr ibn As said that if I was to look at the Prophet alayhi salam, I can't describe him. And you know Amr ibn As, he said there's three halat in my life, three stages of my life. He was dying and he looked at the wall and he was weeping. And his son said to him, Ya Abi, why are you weeping? Amma basharaka Rasul bi kada wa kada wa kada. Did not messenger give you glad eyes of this and this and this inside your life? He said, yes, he did. He said, but my son, there's three stages of my life. Let me narrate to you the three stages of my life. The first stage of my life, the most hated person, the most hated face on the face of this earth was the face of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And if I ever met him face to face, I would never hesitate to kill him. If I faced him, I would not hesitate to kill him. قَالَ وَإِنْ مِتُّ عَلَى هَذِي الْحَالَ If I died in this state, لَقَدْ كُنْتُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ If I died then, I would have been a person in the hellfire. Then Allah guided me. Then Allah guided me and I came to the Prophet alayhi salam. I came and I told him to stick out your hand. And he said, I'm going to lay a condition. He said, what's the condition? I mean, I said that may Allah forgive me for what I've done before. Because my animosity, my hatred, what I was pursuing after you. He said, don't you know that Islam wipes out what existed before? He said, if I died in that condition, then I would perceive myself amongst being the people of paradise. And then the third halal speaks about the civil war, the civil strife, the battle of Siffin, where Jamal that took place. But this is what Islam, look at the characteristics, how it changed these people. And he said that if you used to ask me to describe the Prophet, I would not be able to do so. If you ask me now, he said, if you ask me to describe him, I can't describe him because I can't look at his face. That's how much ijlal, how much respect I have towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we find that this sinning of arrogance that we find, that Allah warns us that this wealth and this property will be destroyed. In aqsamu. لَا يَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ We're going to go to our garden in the morning. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ They never said, inshallah, they never praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmed, it mentions that when a person plots to carry out sins, pursues to carry out sins, then that what happens? فَيُحْرُمْ بِهِ الرِّزْقِ You know, sinning takes away your rizq, takes away your provision, takes away your barakah. That's the impact. Haram lifestyle, haram earnings, haram dealings, haram actions. It has an impact on your life, on your health, on your property. Not it's a golden rule, but in general. It has an impact upon you inside your life. Because that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned these individuals. And they said that we're going to enter into the garden. وَأَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا الْمِسْكِينَ They said, you know, we'll go in the morning. And we don't want none of the poor people to come. Some of the ulama tafsir, they say, look how strange these people are. They have orchards, they have gardens, vineyards, acres, hectares of land. If masakin, a few poor people come into your garden and they take a few fruits, what is it going to diminish anything from you? But this shows that wealth, power, when it gets to the mind, it leads to a different mindset. They don't want any poor people to come there and say, this is our garden, our property, inheritance from our fathers, our land. Why should we share it with these poor people? Why should we give them anything? And what does Allah do? فَأَصْبَحَتْ قَصَّرِيمُ Withers away like darknesses of the night, crushes it, destroys it. And then when they enter into the garden, they say, إِنَّ لَضَالُونَ The obvious meaning that we are astray, we've been misguided in what we've done. But a deeper meaning, some of the ulama said, they said that when they went to their garden, inna ladhalun, they said, maybe this is the wrong garden. Maybe this is the wrong garden. Maybe we've gone to the wrong garden, wrong direction. Is another inner meaning that some ulama tafsir mentioned. Because they're still not willing to accept that our garden has been destroyed because of our arrogance. And then they repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows. As some ulama tafsir mentioned, bestows the blessings back to them. Then Allah speaks about the pious individuals. Inna lil-muttaqina inda rabbihim. جنات النعيم. Because Allah doesn't just always speak about punishment and torture. Allah weighs it up and says that the people of pious individuals, we're going to give them jannat. We're going to give them the gardens inside al-akhirah. We're going to give them an everlasting life of peace, contentment, richness. That's why most of the ayat inside the end of Juz Tabarak, they speak about the punishment, they speak about paradise as well. They speak the richness of paradise are mentioned there. And then Allah then mentions, أَفَنَجْعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Then the following ayat, all just speak about aqaid, about belief, about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the prayer, the importance of the prayer, about hardships, difficulties, and likewise the concept of those people trying to cause harm to the believing individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveils the shin, وَيُدْعُونَ لَلسُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. And here a great discussion amongst ulama of tafsir aqad begin to take place. And as Ahlul Sunnah, we take it on its open meaning. We don't delve into the attributes, the names of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, that he has a hand, he has a face, and he sees, etc. We don't delve into the inner intricate descriptions of this. But what can safely be concluded, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's all hearing, the all seeing. And even Ibn Kathir begins to speak about, this could be speaking about shiddatul yawm, the hardship of the day, the difficulty of the day is one interpretation, but a more sound interpretation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose himself and people will ask to prostrate. But rather going to the concept of the belief, as many ulama they conclude, look at the general gist of the meaning, what can be extracted from these ayat. As you mentioned previously, Imam Tabani Qurtubi mentioned, people who never prostrated in the dunya will not be able to prostrate on that day in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows the ahmiyyah of salah. That's what Imam Qurtubi al-Tabari they mentioned, that if you're not praying inside this dunya, you're not prostrating inside this dunya, don't expect to try to prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. It's not going to happen that your back, as it mentions in the hadith, the back of the hypocrites will become like a plank of wood. They're not going to be able to prostrate. And even the hypocrites, they prostrated just to show the people. And not to say that we're beyond the hypocrites, but we don't even do that. At least hypocrites that came to Salat just to be in the gathering. But we have open, outright disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ. Don't be like the person of dhunnun, the person of the whale. Speak about Yunus ibn Matta. Don't be like this individual who lost focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be patient, have that resolution. إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ, that he was in a state of ghumum, state of loss. He was upset, anxiety, depression is fast traversing inside our society. Yes, we may need to take some medication, as they say, to relieve ourselves to a certain degree. We're not against medics. But you know, more than 21 million people inside this country take antidepressant tablets. In a population just over 62 or 63 million, whatever it may be. So 1/3 of this population takes antidepressant tablets. For what purpose? For this golden life, this good life that you're trying to instill upon our people living in shanty towns, in tin homes, living in a mud village, barefooted, running around, bare clothes. Individuals happy with their raghif, happy with their small bread, happy with their life, that you're so busy about them and their education. غير معقول. Doesn't make sense. And you have 21 million people plus take antidepressant tablets on a daily basis. As the Arabs say, fix your own home before you fix someone else's home. Fix your own home, fix your own society, spend that money on your own people. In our own society around us, that funding is taken away from medics and care and being splashed away all across 1,000 miles in another place in the world. For what purpose? To give them good education. Well, our children here are suffering. Our children are in debt who studies a degree, 9, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40,000 pounds in debt. But you have money to go and spend over there. غير معقول, doesn't make sense. That what your intent is on the face of this earth, that you have this good life. And that's why don't lose hope. That's why even Muslims, that even we go through a path of medics, there's no harm. La haraj fi dhalik. We're not saying that. But what is the greatest medicine? Ala bi dhikri lay tatma innul qulub. In the hearts In the dhikr of Allah, the hearts find patience, find rest. The Quran, shifa'un lima fi sudur. The Quran is a shifa. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says it's an internal cure, external cure. That's what the Quran is. How many of us inside our lives? We just pick up a medication and we just take it in a freelance manner. Surah al-Fatiha, ruqya, al-Shafiya. Surah al-Fatiha is the most powerful ruqya that we find reading of Surah al-Fatiha. The use of the Quran to protect and to preserve ourselves. That's what the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the Quran contains a remembrance of how to, when we lose hope, we despair. قُلْ عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ قُلْ عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my servants who've oppressed themselves. You're even a person who sins, whatever they do inside their life as a Muslim, you've gone beyond that. You know, some person, I've gone beyond the limit. I've become a devil in my life. Devils change. Devils turn back. قُلْ عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Who've oppressed their own selves. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair from the mercy of Allah. Don't worry about the mercy of people. Worry about the mercy of Allah. Don't despair. You turn back to Allah, Allah will turn back to you. That's why inside this ayah, the ishara is there. What is the greatest ayah inside the Quran of turning back to Allah? Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a whole risala, a whole book about it. What is the greatest ayah of turning back to Allah? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Fastajabna lahu wa najaynahu min al-gham. Yunus says, I'm called out to Allah. La ilaha illa anta. You are the only one, Allah. You are the only one. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Glorified are you. Free from every blemish, imperfection. Illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Al-iqrar bil-dhunub. Amam Allah. To present yourself. That's what ibadah is. To debase yourself in front of Allah. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. We responded to him. We took him out of his worry and his depression, his anxiety, him being upset. And then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that. What does Allah say subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, we're going to rescue believers. Meaning use this dua, you'll be rescued inside your life. You'll be delivered. Just like you find dhunun was delivered, was thrown out, expelled out, called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah gives this warning at the end. About there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be people there who are not well wishers, as they say. People not well wishers, jealousy and the evil eye that we find, that even the Prophet was exposed to it. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. They want to smite you with their eyes. That's why Ibn Kathir is on his tafsir. He writes 6 or 7 pages speaking about Al-Ayn. In a hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, the most of this ummah, halaq hadhi al-ummah, aktharu halaq hadhi al-ummah, the most destruction of my people, of this ummah, will be via the evil eye. Will be the evil eye. The evil eye sends a sheep to the cauldron, to the cooking pot, and it sends a man to the grave. That's how dangerous the eye is. The eye of jealousy. The eye of hatred. And they try to smite that to the Prophet ﷺ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ would always seek protection. Hatta some riwayat that mentioned that Jibreel ﷺ came and done ruqya on the Prophet ﷺ. That seek refuge. Min kulli aynin lamma aw hamma. For every treacherous, wicked eye. Seeking refuge as a person should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning, in the evening. Use the Quran to remember, to protect themselves. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas. And even things that we see around us. The famous hadith of Suhail ibn Hunayf. A young individual that we find good body, good structure. And when he's swimming or he's bathing, and the people saw his body and they made this comment about his body, that look how beautiful your skin and your body is. And he collapsed. When the Prophet ﷺ, he heard about it, he said, what happened? What, is there somebody that that may have said something or made a comment? They said, such and such individual made this comment about him. So tell him to perform wudu and bring the remnants of water and throw it upon this person and take from the inside of the person performing wudu and place it upon this person. And he sprinkled and put this water over him, and he stood up immediately. Let not one of you destroy his own brother, his own brethren, his own people. Always praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the surah began with that you're not a madman, that your message is the correct message. So the surah begins with that. They try to attribute this to the Prophet alayhi salam. This message, the Quran, is not a medieval book, a 6th century book. It's a message for all times and places and people. You know, the Quran is a strange book in a way that should awaken people. Even non-Muslims, we should be engaging with them. You know, even recently, there's a person who's reading the Quran. He was reading the Quran, drinking a non-Muslim drinking a can of beer, of lager. Tasawwuru, imagine this. And it sounds reprehensive, sounds something strange, and you know, we shouldn't tolerate this. But he's a non-Muslim, he's drinking alcohol. And a person walks past him and says that, you know, this very interesting book that you're reading, isn't it? He goes, this book takes away my worries. He's drinking, but yet he's seeing that this book has something inside. He's only reading a translation. Imagine people exposed to the Quran appropriately. And that's why that formation will change this person, will become from leaving those obnoxious actions to becoming wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Look how many non-Muslims today, from being the most worst of people, their character, their behavior. Because that's sunnatullah, that's sunnah of Allah. As we as Muslims, we traverse, we go away. Allah will bring out new people. People who care about his deen, who worry about his deen, who have this affection for his deen, will lead them towards Islam and raise them and make them good people and good symbols.